Conversation Drive, and it's right here with me, Brad. It's 25 minutes after 4. Olivia, thank you so much for listening. Brimolda, thank you so much for listening. I'll get to some of the other shouts. You're in the fast lane. It's Casey Drive. This is Last Night from Puffy and Keisha Cole. Also played Funky Firefly with a song that featured today as your Kunstenaar van die Dag with Come With Me Tonight. Thank you for that, Suzette. Really appreciate it. Now, the good news is, guys, we do have Dr. Solduka with us over the phone. He wasn't able, respectfully, to speak to us in the previous hour, but he moved mountains for us this afternoon to have this very important conversation with us this afternoon. Dr. Shakir Solduka joining us over the phone as we're turning our attention to that topic that I spoke to you guys in the previous hour, AI, artificial intelligence, becoming part of our everyday life, obviously. But can it really help when it comes to something like mental health? And as I said, to talk to us more on the show today for the next couple of minutes, I'm joined by Dr. Shakir Solduka, who is a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. Dr. Solduka, welcome to the show. Lovely to have you. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. We'll make this conversation available, you guessed it, as a podcast. Let's start with this, shall we, Doctor? More and more of us, more and more people are using AI chatbots for things like advice about stress, anxiety, and depression. Why do you think should people be careful about relying on AI for something like mental health support, which is very serious?
I think you must break it down into two parts. You know, one is getting information and one is getting assistance. So getting information about things, which is a fairly one-dimensional concept, you know, I think for that it's okay. But in terms of then taking it to the next level of therapeutics and intervention, we're definitely not there yet. People must realize that AI is just a regurgitative tool. So in other words, whatever's put in is what you'll get out. Now, we're not sure what's being put in because there's just so much. I mean, a lot of it is obviously good, but you can't say all of it is good. And in cases where mental health is the issue, and if someone makes, as has happened in the past, the wrong bit of advice, people can lose their lives. We've had cases where patients have taken their lives as a result of getting advice from AI. So I think it can be used to get information about symptoms and some direction about where to get help. But I certainly don't think we're ready to start getting therapy from AI.
And that takes us to our next question, Doctor. What can a trained mental health professional offer that AI simply cannot? I know that you've answered it a little bit, but let's just speak about that a little bit more. What can a trained mental health professional offer that AI simply cannot?
When it comes to mental health, it's not like dermatology or radiology where one can look at a picture or a rash on the skin and make a very educated guess on what it is. Mental health is multidimensional. You know, we talk about things like IQ, EQ, SQ, which is intellect, emotion, spirituality, and so on. You've got to look at it in the context of genetics. You've got to look at it in the context of childhood development. You have to look at it in the context of their current circumstances and what's happening in their lives. All of that is taken into account when making a final assessment. I mean, one person's level of distress can be normal if they're grieving the loss of someone. And that same level of distress can be severely abnormal and an illness in someone who doesn't have a specific reason to be distressed.
And having said that, Dr. Solduka, if someone feels that they are struggling emotionally, lots of people listening to us today, and if someone feels that they are just struggling emotionally, what is the best first step that they should take instead of turning to AI?
Well, I mean, there are lots of, well, not lots, but there are some good call centers that people can use, like SADAG, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Support Group, and then there are places like Lifeline. You can contact your local general practitioner, or if you're not is covered by medical insurance, you can go to your local hospital, which almost most have attached to them psychologists and psychiatrists. You know, and start there. I don't think self-medication or self-treatment is not recognized, is not generally recommended when a person is struggling, especially the organ they're struggling with is the brain, because you need that organ to be reasonable and rational and make good choices. So when your brain is the organ that's struggling, it's better to go and get help. And as I said, you can get help through the call centers, you can go to your GPs, you can contact psychiatrists and psychologists directly, or if you're in the state sector, you can go to the outpatients departments.
Dr. Shakir Salduka, thank you so much for the time today, sir. We appreciate you taking time to speak to us over the phone. You've only for a couple of minutes, and obviously for elaborating a little bit more on the role of AI in mental health and why something like human support, it still matters now more than ever. And of course, where people can turn to if they need help. We appreciate your time today, doctor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Talk soon. Bye-bye for now.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
Bye. There we go. Appreciate the doctor's time today. Right here on 107.7. How do you guys feel about artificial intelligence becoming part, obviously, of the everyday life now? It's part of our lives. Can it really help with something like mental health? The doctor broke it down in a very simplistic way for us. We appreciate that conversation. We're going to be making available as a podcast on our app. It's 29 minutes away from 5 o'clock. You're still on Drive right here with me, Brad.